Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is, believe it or not, get ready, January 1st, 2021. Today we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. Happy New Year, Mariah. How are you?
Happy New Year to you, Ted. I'm so happy to be in 2021. Looking forward to talking about Biden's robust and diverse climate cabinet, as well as what gives us hope for climate action in 2021. Tune in.
The year behind us is gone, shall not be mentioned again. We will just keep marching forward. We will look happily into the future. One of the very good things that is in our prospect in front of us is at least the opportunity for a fight that you might win about climate change and getting something done on climate change, right? With the coming of President Biden in a few weeks, who one of the things that Biden has done, of course, is during the campaign, he ran on a $2 trillion climate plan. And in his transition, he has named a what can only be regarded as a very impressive list of people with true, to my mind, true bona fides in the climate movement to deal with the issue. And I thought maybe we could. That's one thing. Let me say the other thing is that one of the things that's going to come up this year, just to sort of set the stage, is that. President Biden has promised to rejoin the Paris Accord, right? Which we expect to happen very soon. It is, as we've said multiple times, meaningless, but it is kind of this totem, this sort of signifier that, yeah, at least we rejoined the Paris Accord, right? We're back in that. That's a good thing that we expect to happen this year, right?
Right. And I think just to clarify, Trump, really, I'm not exactly sure what date it became official that Trump pulled out, but it was recent, right? It was maybe November.
The day after the election. Yeah,
the day after the election. So that's when officially we pulled out of the Paris Agreement, but we'll go back in on inauguration day, January 20th, 2021. So a short-lived withdrawal. But of course, the effects are bigger than that because over the past 4 years, the actions that Trump has been doing have effectively been against all of the initiatives we're supposed to be doing with the Paris Agreement, of course. So.
And we should just point out that later in this year of 2021, I see the November or December or so, there will be another one of those famous Conference of the Parties, the COP, and it will be held in Glasgow, Scotland. And that is the next turn of the screw for the Paris Accords operation. And what's supposed to happen at the end of 2021 in the Glasgow COP is that all the nations of the world will increase their ambition, is the phraseology, but basically they're going to commit to making even bigger reductions in carbon dioxide emissions than they did in 2015, right? That's this. And I'm sure over the course of this year, we'll be talking a lot about increasing ambition. That's the buzzword, all right? It means you're going to promise to cut more. That's coming. That's something our new president is going to have to deal with, what the United States does, how it demonstrates leadership, how much more can be done, because in my understanding, the Paris Accord, these ambitious promises have to match with some sort of realistic plan. They can't be just willy-nilly promises. So Joe Biden can't go in and say, oh, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, unless he's got some kind of plan behind it, which comes back to policy, which we'll get to. That's one good thing I think is coming up this year. The other good thing, Mariah, I'm sure you will smile at, is that finally, no matter who the individuals are, almost anybody that Biden appoints to a scientific position will be a person who has faith in science and is not out to destroy the scientific process within the federal government, right? That all by itself is a good thing. Would you agree?
Yes, I'm so happy that we finally have some scientists that are going to be running some of these important organizations.
Yeah, and I think that much as I am impatient, it will take some time for the Biden administration to unwind the damage that Trump has done. right? So it's not like you throw a switch, but re-establishing the morale of like the EPA, re-changing. I mean, they did some nasty stuff that you and I, Trump has done some nasty stuff about basically things like defining what sorts of scientific studies can be utilized by the EPA in order to make policy, right? Really corrosive, nasty stuff they've done that's going to have to be rewound. In particular, just so that that's clear, I believe what they did was to say, you cannot use a medical study that you that takes anonymous data to decide if like pollution is hurting people. You have to have the names and addresses of all those people. And that, I think that's the way, right? And it's just, it's like that just crushes stuff, right? You can't do anything.
I mean, it's a violation, right? You can't, putting people's names into the reports is a violation of their privacy. So they'd have to agree to have that published. And it negs a whole bunch of really significant scientific reports that have helped to show that climate change is causing and environmental, you know, climate change and pollutants are causing environmental damage and health damage.
But the good news is at least whoever's driving the bus will be trying to modify that, right? As fast as possible, modify those things. So that's a good prospect for 2020. So there are good things. One of the most interesting debating points that people have about this stuff is whether or not there's a phrase that you hear in that you sometimes hear. I think it's said in Washington, although I haven't been in DC in a while, right? But people say that personnel is policy, by which I think what they mean is that if a guy like Stephen Miller is in charge of your immigration policy, well, you know what kind of immigration policy you're going to get. You're going to get a vengeful, you know, destructive, hateful policy. If you have personnel in charge of climate policy that know what the issues are, have been to the rodeo before, know what's going on, you're probably going to have a much more constructive climate policy. Is that a fair thing to say, Mariah?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the good leaders can make a the world of difference in policy.
Right. And so recently, and this is a good thing. Recently, President, I guess he's still President-elect Biden, soon to be President Biden, announced his team of climate people. And I just wanted to kind of rattle off some of the names, and then you and I can discuss whichever ones we want to, right? All right. Does that make sense? So in short order, what Biden did was at the Department of the Interior, which I believe basically controls all of that public land out west and is in charge of the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, I mean, the national parks, everything comes under the Department of the Interior. That the new leader of that has been nominated to be Deb Haaland, who's a Native American from Oklahoma, I think, right? Which is just unbelievably fantastic, right? Finally, after centuries of kind of oppression, to have an indigenous person be in charge of the Department of Interior is a statement. I mean, I can't put it any other way. Does that make sense? So this that's one. The next one is the former governor of Michigan, who knows a lot about the automobile industry and a lot about technology, manufacturing, energy. Jennifer Granholm is going to be in charge of the Department of Energy. Right? That's a good thing. She knows what she's talking about. She's committed. She's got a history of being committed to the right things. And she's much better than the guy who wanted to kill the Department of Energy and then went on Dancing on the Stars, right? And got in there and found out that didn't know that the Department of Energy was in charge of nuclear weapons. I mean, that sort of gross incompetence that we've seen over the last 4 years will be gone. I mean, Jennifer Granholm is for real. At the Environmental Protection Agency, and for everyone who's grown up watching Ghostbusters, where the big joke of the whole movie was that the bad guys were the EPA, right? That was the sort of, the EPA is the most trusted organization in the country, right? Has been attacked by the Trump people. We'll now have a gentleman named Michael Regan from North Carolina as being the head of the EPA. And he has a good history in North Carolina of shutting down coal plants and addressing environmental justice issues, which is like super important in the current context.
And he'll be the first Black man to run the agency also, which I think is fantastic.
It's fantastic. Yes. I mean, these kind of bringing, having these people, what's the Hamilton thing, you know, be in the room where it happens.
The room
right?
where it happens.
A woman named Brenda Mallory will be the Council of Environmental Quality. And here's the one I like. The new one that I like is that Gina McCarthy from Boston is going to be the climate advisor to Joe Biden. Right. I can't think of anything more. She, you know, she's not going to have a cabinet post. She's going to be like John Kerry, right? She's going to be the senior advisor. But if there's anybody in the country who knows what to do, it's Gina McCarthy. Would you agree, Mariah?
Absolutely. She's outstanding. And speaking of John Kerry, he's got his own post, right?
He's got a post.
The climate envoy.
And there is the other one that is a sleeper in my mind is Janet Yellen, because my understanding is that she has the right understanding, right? Janet Yellen is at the Department of the Treasury, right? She's going to take over Mnuchin's job, crazy Steve Mnuchin. Janet Yellen will be in that role, able to print money, but also understands that finance issues address climate change. And we had recently on the show, we've been talking about the financial rules around climate change and how if the federal government were to start to demand from corporations true accounting of the climate risk, things would change. That'd be a big impact, right? So having Janet Yellen in the game as well is a good thing. So my feeling is that what all of these great names suggest is that President Biden is not taking a siloed approach. Again, I don't want to use a buzzword, but not taking a narrow view of climate, that climate change issues affect all branches of government across the board. It's not something that you deal with on Tuesday and then forget about for a week until next Tuesday and deal with it again. It's something that works its way into almost all decisions that the federal government makes, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's wonderful to see both diverse perspectives and diversity in the cabinet, to see a lot of first-time appointments for different minorities is fantastic. And I think there a lot has happened in 2020 to prime the country for this kind of change. And I'm that's to me one of the exciting things of 2020. We're starting to see that, you know, we're starting to see that the financial sector is sort of taking notice about how, oh, wait, actually fossil fuel investments are not really a good idea anymore. And that many states, I think there's Arizona, Louisiana, Rhode Island, Virginia, Washington State, they all have these 100% carbon free by 2050. So we're seeing, you know, this growing support for the need to do these types of programs. And mm-hmm. I think that's really one of the exciting things about 2020. Didn't Exxon get booted out of the Dow Jones?
Well, I think it's interesting you say that, because here, as we enter the new year, looking back, I think in addition to this sort of finance stuff related to climate, the other big shift in 2020, to my mind, was the idea that climate became wrapped up in environmental and racial justice, and the connections were all became clear, right? Between COVID and everything else, you couldn't ignore it anymore. And that I think if it's incorporated by the movement, and I think Joe Biden's selections reflect that, is a very powerful way to integrate what, you know, wind turbines and stuff into a much more holistic approach to rebuilding a full society. I mean, that if that's a good thing that came out of 2020, I'll take it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the unfortunate reason that it sort of became such a at the forefront is because there's been so many wildfires and hurricanes and floods that have forced people to take notice of it. So that part's unfortunate, but the fact that we're really waking up to the need to do something about this is a good place to be.
So there you go. I think that as 2021 dawns, there is reason to smile, look at that sun come up and
the
say, yeah, we're going to have a good year. We're going to do the right thing. And I think it's in one of our recent shows, Mariah, we talked about the fact that no matter how good that team that Joe Biden puts together, they need pressure. They need people pushing them. And that's our job, right? We need to stay in the game and make sure that the people in Washington know that they're being watched, that as the article, the Emily Atkins article we put up a while ago, I mean, these people have a superhuman task, right, that they can't fail at. We need to keep the pressure on them to do the best job they've ever done. And but I feel pretty good that there's a good set of people in there that will lead us down the right path, right?
I agree.
Good, good. So there you go. That's the outlook. Happy New Year's. Happy beginning of 2021. What we'll do is we'll put up links to some of the articles describing these wonderful folks that Joe Biden has chosen. That'll be on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Right? Let us know what you think the best thing of 2021 is going to be. You can listen to us on your smartphone using almost any of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please rank us. Please ask your friends to listen to us. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support and wish him the best and happiest new year. We want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of those things, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade, i.e. before 2030, under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here. I look forward to talking to you all year.
That's right. Looking forward to a new year, too.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.